of God's Word tonight, all right? God's wonderful Word. I'm glad, thank God, it's wonderful. Amen. You know how I know it is? Because the Bible said His name shall be called Wonderful. And He is the Word of God. Therefore, the Word of God must be wonderful. Amen. And I think this written Word is wonderful. Hallelujah. What a great God we have. Amen. Well, I want to try to finish up chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians tonight. If you'll turn your Bibles to chapter number 4 of the book of 1 Thessalonians, please, tonight. We'll pick right up where we left off this morning and try to bring the thought that God has laid on our heart tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Then Brother Paul said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture tonight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You tonight for the privilege we have to be in the house of God. Thank You, Lord, for the morning hour. Thank You, Lord, for the help You give my own soul in the day, in the morning hour. I want to thank You for the privilege we have to sing the hymns of faith, the songs of Zion. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that is before us, a Word that is forever settled in heaven. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege tonight to preach the gospel, the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. And I pray, O God, that You would bless tonight in a wonderful way. Take Thy Word and anoint it to our hearts. Open up our understanding. Give us hearts to understand tonight, Lord, what thus saith the Word of God. I pray again tonight, Lord, that You'd bless me with power, with unction, with holy oil. I pray for liberty tonight, Lord, and the direction and the leadership of the Spirit of God. May You give great grace and give victory to Your people tonight. We ask You, Lord, to save sinners, deliver sinners from sin, and, Lord, bless Your people with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and we'll thank You for doing it in Christ's wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to take verse number 18 tonight, the last verse in chapter number 4. If God would be my helper and bring our thought there, where Paul said, wherefore, because of what has been said already, because of the previous verses, or those verses preceding, verse number 18, Brother Paul said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words, those words that he had just spoken or just written to that church at Thessalonica. And I want to preach for a little while tonight on the thought of comforting thoughts about His coming. Amen. Comforting thoughts about His coming. I don't know if it's ever occurred to you, but the greatest consolation we have as a child of God is to know that our Lord is coming back. I'm glad that the napkin in the tomb was folded and laying in a place by itself, signifying the fact that Jesus was coming again. That the work that He had begun was not yet completed. And there would come a day that He would return to this earth and would fulfill all the Scriptures in the Word of God concerning Himself. That's a great consolation to you and I. We walk in the midst of troubles. We walk in the midst of sorrows. We walk in the midst of heartache and grief. And the greatest consolation and comfort that we can find tonight is the fact that our great God is coming again. That this world is not our home that we're just passing through. That our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That we're just pilgrims and strangers in a foreign land. This world ought to be foreign to you and I today that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't feel at home here anymore. I see so much going on and things that I disapprove of. And I tell you, I don't feel comfortable in the world anymore. I've got a tug on my heart that's a pulling heavy and a pulling me up toward the glory world where God sits on the throne. Amen and amen. That's right. I'm ready to go there. And I feel a tug on my heart. And I've got a desire in my soul to go on and be with Jesus, which is far, far greater than anything that we've ever could comprehend here on this earth. I want to say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Thanks be unto God. Paul said, don't sorrow as those which have no hope. I'm telling you, to be absent from this body, ladies and gentlemen, is to be present with the Lord. I don't care what the Pope says or what your priest says. There's no such thing as purgatory. There's not a holding tank where bad people go to. Amen. No, sir. There's not a holding tank you can get prayed out of. It's either heaven or hell. And I'm glad, thank God, there is a heaven tonight for the children of God. There is a heaven tonight. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Oh, no. Don't you sorrow, though, as others which have no hope, concerning those that have went to sleep in the Lord. For there's coming a glorious day when God Almighty will sound the last trump, and the dead in Christ shall get up out of the graves and put on incorruption, immortality, and death shall be swallowed up in life. And those of us that are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be caught up together to meet our Lord in the air. What a wonderful day that's going to be. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so there are some comforting thoughts about His coming. The greatest consolation we have is about His coming. May I say by way of introduction tonight that in the closing verses of this chapter, Paul changes his train of thought and focuses on the second coming of the Lord. Apparently, these believers had some misgivings about their loved ones who had died in Christ. Now, I don't know how many here tonight have got loved ones that's in the grave, but I tell you, I wouldn't want you to sorrow as others which have no hope. If you loved ones, if they died in Christ, amen, their bodies just been laid in the grave, that old tabernacle that they lived in for their sojourn upon this earth has been laid in the grave, and I tell you, they're not there. They're not there. They've gone on to be with the Lord. Amen to God. But we can comfort one another with these words, that there's coming a blessed morning when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And some shall be raised to eternal life, and 1,000 years later others shall be raised to eternal damnation. But there is coming a time when all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God. You don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope. These folks had some misgivings about their loved ones. And perhaps I think some of them even believed that the rapture had already occurred. Or some could have grown weary while waiting on the Lord. I want to say to you tonight, don't grow weary. And I'm afraid a lot of people have. We've grown weary in the journey. And if we're not careful, we'll get like that bunch of scoffers that Peter talks about that says, where is the promise of His coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, they said, we've been hearing about the promise of His coming. I'm going to tell you, they grew weary while waiting upon the Lord. I wouldn't want anybody to grow weary tonight waiting upon the Lord. We've got a blessed promise that's found In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 and verse number 37, the Lord said, "For yet a little while, and he that will come, shall come, will come, and will not tarry." Just a little longer. Amen. And I'm not holding on a little longer, please Jesus, either. Praise God, I'm enjoying what God's doing for me, but I'm waiting upon the second advent of our Lord when he will come in clouds of glory. He'll sound the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will get up first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up with them to meet the Lord in the clouds. Amen. He's not going to tarry. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now I'm telling you, if you want to see a sight, you ought to pull up online the Tuesday night's message at Faith Baptist Camp when Brother Sammy Allen preached his 49th anniversary message. He's been preaching for 49 years, and Brother Allen was preaching that message on the second coming. And he quoted that verse. He quoted it. I've got to write it down and read it. But he quoted that verse that I just read to you in here tonight. And he said that he that shall come will come and he will not tarry. And he said what that means is he's not going to stop at any of the other planets on the way down. He's not going to take time to visit Jupiter and Mars and the moon or any of the other planets. He's not going to tarry, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Just a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. That is, ladies and gentlemen, when the exact right time rolls around for the trumpet to sound and Christ to make that shout of acclamation that will awake the dead, he will come and he will not tarry. He'll be right on time, every time, on time. He's coming again, whether you're ready or not, whether you're saved or lost. I'm telling you, Christ is coming again to this world. That's comfort to me to know that. That this world of chaos and confusion and turmoil and tears is and trials is not my final home. The songwriter said, "This world is not my final home." And I'm glad, thank God, that it's not. Time has sped. I can't even read my own writing. Well, time sped along pretty fast. I can't read the word. But I'm telling you, times have been running on. It has. I'm telling you, time's got away from us. Time has not slowed down. It certainly hasn't. And events of vast magnitude have rapidly succeeded one another and left their lessons for the ages to ponder. Nations have passed through the throes of suffering and revolution. Generation after generation has gone down to the grave, but nearly 2,000 years, ladies and gentlemen, the church has been in a strait with profound, intense, and anxious expectation waiting on the coming of the Lord, but still the promise of His coming remains. I've said all that to say this simply in my word. Buddy, time has been a flying by. There's been generation after generation that have died in the Lord and gone to the grave, never seeing that promise in Thessalonians 4 ever come to a fruition. But I believe that we live in the rapture generation. I believe we live in that generation that's going to be alive and remaining at the coming of the Son of God. I'm telling you, the question is, are you ready? Have you been to Calvary? Have you been born again? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Are you ready to meet the Lord in the air, ladies and gentlemen? I'll say if you're not saved, it'll be 1,007 years before you ever get up out of that grave you go to. Amen. Hallelujah. Generations after generation have died and went to the grave. And the church has waited with great anticipation for over 2,000 years, but still the promise remains unfulfilled. I want to ask you tonight, will he come? What do you think? Will he come? Don't say, oh yes. He will come. He will come, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Oh yes, I'd say Jesus is coming again, ladies and gentlemen. That's great comfort. We're going through trials now and heartaches now and hard times now. But I tell you, there's comforting thoughts in these words tonight. If we'll get our mind and our heart off of the world, off of our trouble, and onto the fact that Jesus is about to come again to this world and call you and I home to be with Him. What a wonderful day that is going to be. Will He come? Oh, yes, He's coming. And the church of the living God is going to rise triumphant. It appears now that the church is going down. We come to Sunday services and we sit in solitude and quietude. And our hearts seem to be ripped asunder from the hardships of life. It seems that we've lost our joy. It seems that we've lost our power. It seems that we've lost that abundant life that Christ came to give. But does that mean, ladies and gentlemen, that the church is going down? Oh, no. Church is not going down. She is still going up. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So I want to say, cheer up, my brother, and look to the eastern sky, because we're not going down, we're going up. God's not had the final say so yet. If I may put it this way, the fat lady has not sung as yet, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Amen. When the fat lady sings, the curtain generally drops. But I'm telling you, the fat lady ain't sang on this thing yet. Oh no, we're not going down. We're not on a sinking boat. The old ship of Zion's been sailing these troubled waters for almost 6,000 years. Amen. I want to say she'll keep right on sailing these troubled waters. Are you on board the old ship of Zion? Amen. Has the ship docked at your port? Has the gangplank went out to you? Have you made your track across the plank into the portals of the blessed ship of Zion, and have the assurance in your heart that you're going to rise in the clouds of glory to meet the Lord? We're not going down. Oh, no. We're going up. Now, the devil would like to make you believe that the church is going under, that we've lost it, that we're done. Oh, and we'll get real pious and real spiritual. Brother Hall, I would never, never believe that. I'm much too spiritual to believe something like that. Pray tell me, are you more spiritual than John the Baptist? Old John the Baptist, when he was in prison, sent a couple of his disciples to where Jesus was at, and they asked this question, are you the one, or should we look for another? John the Baptist had baptized him. John the Baptist had seen the dove light on him. John the Baptist heard the voice from heaven. Oh yeah, John the Baptist had seen the miracles of Christ and knew that he was the Son of God. And yet he doubted that he was who he said he was. So let's not be so super spiritual. Get the idea that we can't get down in the mouth and drag bottomed out, mully grubbing around, grieved, sick. We can, but there's comfort. Amen. There's comfort in these words. How many times have you meditated on them verses? How many times have you dissected them verses? They would be worth your meditation, ladies and gentlemen, because there's comfort there. And that word comfort means more than God stroking you on the back of the neck like you'd pet a dog. There's strength in these words. There's power in these words. There's provisions in these words. There's grace in those words. There's help in those words for every wayfaring pilgrim. Amen. that'll meditate upon them. Oh, yeah. But until that day arrives, we're to find comfort in these words. Have you thought on them enough to find comfort for your help? For your help. What do these words provide for us? Well, I want to say, number one, they provide us with a precious hope. Thank God that we've got a hope tonight, church. Verse number 13, the Bible said that I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, as you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Praise God, I'm glad tonight that we've got a precious hope. Titus 2 verse 13 said, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a hope we have. A blessed hope. Not just of an appearing, but of a glorious appearing. Not only of a God, but of our great God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah tonight. I've got that hope. Amen. This world, hey, it's not going to end with the grave, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you sorrow. If you hear old Hall kick the bucket. Amen. I don't want nobody in here. I don't mind a little grief and a little sorrow. That's good. But don't you sorrow like others that have no hope. There's coming a morning when I'll get up out of that grave. And if you're still alive, I'll walk up and shake your hand. Praise God. And we'll leave this world together to meet the Lord in the air. I've buried some of your loved ones who have died in the Lord. I'm sure you may go to their gravesite. And with deep sorrow in your heart, wonder, can they be true? Will my loved one get up out of that grave? Will I ever see my mama again? Will I ever see my daddy again? Will I ever see my child that died in the Lord ever again? Oh, I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, if they're saved by the grace of God, there is a blessed hope. There is a precious hope that we have as a child of God concerning the dead. That we sorrow not as others which have no hope. I've made several trips down little pathways that led to little countryside cemeteries. And watched them lay my loved ones a few feet below the crumbling clod, as one man said. And I've watched the grass grow over the top of that grave. And every now and then I'll visit those grave sites and stand and look upon that plot where my loved one is laid. And the thought runs through my heart, thank God this is not the end. There's coming a resurrection morning when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, what a precious hope we have concerning the dead. I know that it's sorrow and it brings grief for a season. And there's nothing wrong with sorrow, and there's nothing wrong with tears, and there's nothing wrong with grief, but we do not have to sorrow as others which have no hope. You realize there's people in this world have absolutely no hope at all. They buried their loved ones and they have no hope at all of ever seeing their loved one again. They died lost. I hate to say it, but they'll spend eternity in hell. Amen. Well, there's a precious hope concerning the dead in Christ, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Notice carefully, he did not say that we are not to sorrow, but that we're to sorrow not as others which have no hope. Sorrow is nowhere in the Bible forbidden. It may be an infirmity, but at the same time, it's also a solace. The soul oppressed and stricken by the weight of a great calamity can find some relief in tears. I'm going to tell you where the problem comes in. Come on in the house now. It's preaching time. I can't get nowhere with you trying to tell you Jesus is coming. I'll just preach to you a little while. Now, I'm going to tell you where the problem comes when people bottle up grief in their heart. And they bottle up sorrow in their heart. They lose a loved one. And they're real tough, you know, and they don't want anybody to know that they had ever weep one tear. And so they bottled that grief up on the inside. I'm telling you, bottle that grief up on the inside so long, it'll become an infirmity in your life, ladies and gentlemen, and it'll plague you all of your life. I'm telling you, sorrow and grief is a natural, normal thing, even for a child of God, but we do not have to sorrow as others which have no hope. We can sorrow and rejoice at the same time, knowing God's given us a blessed promise in that Bible. There's coming a day when our loved ones get up out of the grave. I'll tell you, my greatest fear in life is having to bury one of my family. That's the greatest fear I have. And I can see where it would be a great affliction and where it would be a great trial of life. And I'm sure that I'd cry many tears. And if you've lost a loved one and haven't cried, you've got real problems. But your biggest problems is yet down the road. Because one of these days, all that that's bottled up inside will explode in you like an atom bomb.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there's got sorrow and grief has got to have a vent. Amen. And God has given us that vent in the form of tears. But we do not have to sorrow as others which have no hope.
Amen.
We can weep and cry and sorrow and have grief, but at the same time have a hope that that little body or that body that's let down into that grave shall someday be raised incorruptible and put on immortality, and life and death will be swallowed up into life, and we shall see them again. Not in their weak and sickly body they died in either. But they're going to be raised incorruptible. Can you get a hold of that? When they come out of the grave, they're already changed. They're already glorified. And I believe that for a split second, we might see them in their glorified body if we're in a place where we can. The Bible said they shall be raised incorruptible. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. They're coming out of the grave changed. We're not going to prevent them which are asleep. That is, we're not going to heaven before they go. That's what that word prevent means. We're not going to heaven before they go. Oh, yes, sir. They're going to be raised incorruptible. Then we're going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah to God. Well, listen to this little poem. I'm trying to preach a sugar stick, and y'all just sitting there twiddling your thumb. Listen to this little poem. Oh, ye tears, till I felt you on my cheek. I was selfish in my sorrow. I was stubborn. I was weak. Ye have given me strength to conquer, and I stand erect and free, and I know that I am human by the light of sympathy.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. It's only human to weep over a loved one that's lived in your home for years or you've known for years. It's only right for a child to weep over a dead father or mother. It's only right for a husband or a wife to weep over their spouse. It's only right, ladies and gentlemen, to weep over a child that's died. It's only right to weep over those that we love. But we don't have to sorrow as those which have no hope. Praise God, God's given us comforting words that they're going to be raised again. That old body's just asleep in the grave. It's just asleep. Now, I didn't say the soul, I said the body. That's what the Bible said. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, verse 14, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now let me give you a little pointer about sleep. I want to clarify it. We don't believe in soul sleep, not for 1 minute. Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But and that crowd out there that don't believe in a triune God, how can they believe in a triune man? When that crowd that believes in doesn't believe in a Trinity, that just Jesus only, I wonder why they explain their loved one that dies and goes to the grave. You reckon body, soul, and spirit's in that grave? Oh no, I want to say that body's in that grave. But that soul and spirit has done gone back to be with God, ladies and gentlemen. That is our blessed hope. They're suffering if that body's in the grave. Their suffering is over. That body is at rest. That body is asleep, but their soul is at home with Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now listen carefully. There, that body is asleep. And sleep is expressive of rest. Amen. That body's just taking a little rest.
Amen.
It's, you know why? It's worn out.
Amen.
Couldn't function anymore.
That's right.
Hearts get weak. Lungs get weak.
Amen.
The brain gets weak.
Amen.
This body grows tired and weak and worn out.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, the Bible said that inner man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
Day by day, that inward man is renewed over and over again. There is no wearing out, getting tired, or growing old
Amen.
To that new man that is in our bosom.
Amen.
When that old body gets tired and lays down and gives up the ghost,
Amen.
And you, that ghost, ladies and gentlemen, is going back to be with God.
Amen.
And that body is going to take a long rest. It's tired and weary and worn. And now it's resting time. That sleep is also expressive of refreshment. You ever go to bed? And I'm sure you have. I hope you went to bed. Some of you I wonder about. You ever go to bed tired and worn out and get a good 8 hours? How you feel when you get up? You feel refreshed, don't you? I'm going to tell you, sleep God has designed to refresh the body. To refresh the mind, refresh that person there. Oh, yeah, that old flesh of ours. I'm telling you, that body that's laid there in sleep, ladies and gentlemen, is taking a long rest. But when it awakes, when that last trumpet sounds, and that body awakes, I'm telling you, it's going to get up real refreshed. Amen. No more. It won't be tired anymore. It won't be worn out anymore. There'll be no more wrinkles, hallelujah to God. No more headaches. No more toothaches. No more stomach aches. No more diarrhea. No more that. No more coughing and hacking. No, amen. No more cancer. It'll be refreshed and rested. Amen. Well, I got some of you to laugh anyway. I'm trying to help you and give you a sugar stick. You won't let me. Sleep implies an expectation of awakening. You put that body in the grave and it's asleep in the grave. I tell you, it's laying there expecting to wake up again. When I go to bed tonight and sleep, I expect to get up in the morning. Amen. I can imagine when a dead saint dies in the Lord and they lower that body into the grave. You're generally about 3 days before they bury it. That soul, that spiritual man is up in heaven.
Yeah.
And looking out over the battlements of heaven is probably telling loved ones, don't sorrow now.
Amen.
I'm going to wake up one of these days.
Amen.
There's coming a morning when my glorified eyes will open.
Yeah.
And my glorified lungs will breathe again.
Yeah.
And my glorified body will function again.
Yeah.
And I don't want you sorrowing as others which have no hope. Amen. Because, hey, I'm going to tell you why. Because there is three things. I don't have time to preach these. There is a return, verse 14. There is a resurrection, verse 16. There is a reunion, verse 17. That's why we don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope. Amen. There's a return, a resurrection, and a reunion. I want to say secondly, in comforting thoughts about the coming, they provide us with a precious hope.
Amen.
They also provide us with peace for the soul.
Amen.
A peace for the soul.
Amen.
Praise God. Hey, if we know Jesus is coming back,
Amen.
Then why are we always in a turmoil?
Amen.
Why are we always up in the air about everything?
Amen.
Why are we always wringing our hands and worrying about everything? Thank God there's a peace there.
Yeah.
Verse 14. For if we believe, there it is, gentlemen.
Yeah.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose yeah. again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, what peace.
Yeah.
That ought to bring peace in the time of storms.
Yeah.
Listen to what I wrote down here. One man said, let me penetrate into the heart of God, said the afflicted saint, and read the love that is there. Let me penetrate into the mind of God and read the wisdom that is there. Then shall I be satisfied. The storm shall be turned into a calm. Amen. Then shall I be satisfied. Looking into the heart of God for love and the mind of God for wisdom. And God has given us His mind in these verses. God has revealed us wisdom in these verses. That we don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope. That the Lord is coming again and we can comfort one another with thoughts of those words. Amen. Hallelujah. Vital knowledge of Christ. Vital knowledge of Christ silences every murmur and prepares for every emergency.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got our mind on the Lord. We're going to be at peace in our heart. Because it will silence every murmuring complaint we might have.
Amen.
And will prepare us for every emergency of life.
Amen.
And there are emergencies that will arise in your life. If they haven't, they will. I'll never forget the day. Soon be 27 years ago, this Thanksgiving, when my brother knocked on my door and told me that my mother-in-law had been killed in an automobile accident.
Amen.
I've got to be quite honest with you. I can't really say that my mind was fully stayed on the Lord back then. And I can't say that I was really looking for His coming back then. But I can honestly tell you that I was not prepared for that emergency.
Right.
Had I had my mind stayed on the Lord,
amen,
knowing He's coming,
amen,
would immediately settle every tumultuous thought that may have entered my mind and heart and my wife's also.
Right.
Well, I'm telling you, there's great comfort in these words.
Amen.
There's peace in the time of storm, ladies and gentlemen. If we know He's coming, those storms are going to end.
Amen.
Those trials will soon be over.
Amen.
Those troubles will have their final resting place. But thank God at His coming,
amen,
time and troubles will be no more for you and I.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm trying to preach. Then there's peace to wait silently. He said in verse number 15, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord."
Amen.
Paul had a special revelation from heaven and spoke under the direct and immediate inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Long waiting should sharpen our longing, brighten our hope, and clarify our vision for Christ.
Amen.
Well, I'm not getting too far with you tonight. But if you wait long for something, the longer you wait, the brighter your hope and your expectation ought to grow.
Amen.
Of having it.
Amen.
That's right. Some of you young ladies in here that's married, some of you waited a long time to get married.
Amen.
The longer you waited, the brighter the hope.
Amen.
Some of them think, I think they've waited so long, Brother Andy, that they've lost their hope. But I'll tell you, the longer you wait for something wonderful to happen,
amen,
the brighter your hope ought to be.
Amen.
You don't never, waiting on God ought never dull your hope.
Amen.
Oh, no. It ought to renew your strength.
Amen.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
They'll man up with wings of eagles.
Amen.
They'll walk, run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and not faint. So I'm here to tell you that waiting on the Lord for the blessings of life ought to strengthen you.
Amen.
Amen. So waiting on the Lord in the second coming oughtn't to get us down in the mully grubs and down in the mouth and get us discouraged and defeated. It ought to brighten our hope. It ought to give us, it ought to sharpen our expectation. Amen. That's right. I'm telling it right. Wait on the good things.
Amen.
Sometimes I get real hungry, Brother Wayne.
Amen.
And I sit and wait from the time I get up in the morning to 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon before I eat. And I'm telling you, 3 or 4 o'clock gets around, I'm ready to eat.
Amen.
I've had thoughts of T-bone all day long. And when I sit down in front of that T-bone, I don't look at it and say, yuck, I don't believe I want that. No, that long wait's made me hungry. It didn't discourage me. You know why? Because a new feeding time was coming. I'm not discouraged waiting on the Lord. You know why? Because I know He's coming. I may not know exactly when, but I know He's coming. I don't know exactly when Miss Hall's putting beans on the table, but I know there's going to be beans on the table. I can wait for them. Amen. With hope. And when the doors open, the smell of pintos will arise and the fragrance of pintos will fill my nostrils with delight, and in a few moments my belly with great joy. Amen. Ought to be for the joy that's set before us. Ought to brighten our hope. Ought to provide us with a ought to be peace to renew our strength. I've already mentioned that. Then these words provide us with a promise to stand. Look at verse number 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now I know this ain't going to sit well with some of you boys in here tonight. I might as well talk my way through this. This ain't going to sit well with some of you anyway. But I've got the promise of a shout. I know some of you don't like it. But our Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout. I've got that promise. You realize what that... Let me just read it. I wrote it down. I can read it a whole lot better. Hey, the shout of Jesus that is coming will be like the loud, clear, joyous battle cry of a great conqueror. This shout will break the silence of ages, will startle the universe into attention, will raise the dead, and will summon all the saved into the presence of the Messiah. In His first advent, He did not cry nor lift up nor cause His voice to be heard in the street. But now in His revelation of His coming, I'm telling you it's going to be a different story.
Amen.
Son, I don't know what He's going to say, but I've got the promise of a shout, ladies and gentlemen, that will call this universe to attention.
Yes.
There has never been an event in history since Calvary as significant as what's coming in the next few years when Jesus descends in the clouds. Oh, what an event. When our Lord steps out on the portals of glory, and I believe the words are going to be, "Come up hither!" The universe will snap to attention. I believe when He descends down through the stars will salute the Sovereign of the universe. When He passes by the sun and the moon, they'll bow to Him. Hallelujah to God. Amen. You better believe it, Will. The dead will get up. There's going to be a shout that will resurrect the dead in Christ. Won't that be something? Somebody said, how's that going to be? Well, I believe it's according to Romans 8. For if the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead so dwell in your mortal bodies, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Or dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. And I don't believe when we die, the Spirit of God leaves our body.
Amen.
I'm telling you, in that dead body, you couldn't hear the call to salvation without the Holy Ghost. You can't hear the call of resurrection without the Holy Ghost. When our Lord cries, come up hither, the Holy Ghost will say, get up!
Amen. Amen.
And you will get up.
Amen.
Slip up through clods of dirt with no problem.
Amen.
Shake the dust off. Roll your eyes around. See who else got up. then call, be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air because of a shout. Amen. He's not sending the archangel to shout either. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. This same Jesus that you've seen taking up shouts, oh, come in like manner as you've seen Him go away. I tell you, He's coming again, folks. Praise God, let the storms of life rage about us. Jesus is coming again. They cannot harm me or hurt me. Jesus is coming again. They cannot deprive me of heaven. Jesus is coming again. They cannot hold the dead in Christ in the grave. Jesus is coming again. They cannot keep back our deliverance. Jesus is coming again. Amen. In case I hadn't told you, He's coming again. Amen. Notice this now. This shout shall be heard. Can you imagine that? The stars will hear the shout. The sun and the moon and all the galaxies and all the planets, even those that we're not even aware of, will hear that shout. Those bodies that are dead in Christ 6,000 years ago, somebody said, how can they hear the Holy Ghost? They'll hear that shout.
Amen.
Jeremiah and Isaiah will hear that shout.
That's right.
Ezekiel and Daniel will hear that shout.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what? You know what those Old Testaments did? You know what those that have died in Christ are doing right now? I can tell you one thing they're doing. They're groaning.
Amen.
They are groaning.
Amen.
For what, Brother Hall? To wit, the redemption of the body. They're groaning. All creation is groaning. The dead in Christ are groaning, waiting for the redemption of the body. And I'm telling you, if the dead in Christ are anxious about their body being redeemed, why in God's name are we not anxious about it also? If they're excited about it, why can't we get excited about it? If they're happy about it, why can't we get happy about it? God, I don't believe some of you get happy if Jesus walked down the aisle. Some of you wouldn't know Him if He did. Hallelujah. We've not only got the promise of a shout, but we've got the promise of a voice. Verse number 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel. There's a voice. In response to the shout of the descending Lord, the archangel lifts up his voice like a loud cry of a herald, announcing the glorious advent. And the sound is caught up and prolonged by a vast host of celestial attendants. Somebody said, I don't believe that. That's why you're in the shape you're in. When Christ says, get up, come up hither, I don't know what that archangel's going to say. But he's going to herald a cry like they did in the courts of old.
Yep.
Hail, Sir So-and-so. Hail, Sir So-and-so. You know, heralds used to call the name of those visitors that would visit the king's court. Sir So-and-so is approaching the king. I don't know for sure what that archangel is going to say, Brother Andy. But I wouldn't be at all surprised if he don't say, hark! The sovereign God of the universe has now sounded. It's time to get up.
Amen.
He will, Douglas. He will announce the coming. He will announce the coming of our Lord. Like a herald, he'll trumpet, his voice will sound, ladies and gentlemen. And it's coming. And there's also the promise of the trump. At the last trump, it says. And that trump is the trump of God. It simply means a trumpet. In days of old, they'd blow that trumpet. And it was a trumpet sound to assemble all of God's people together. Son, there's coming a gathering together day.
Amen.
Glad reunion day.
Yes.
At the last trump.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the dead in Christ.
Yes.
I wrote those great verses down.
Yes.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
At the last trump, where the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible,
yes.
And we shall be changed.
Yes.
Changed. That verse mentions being changed two different times in it.
Amen.
Changed to perfection.
Amen.
Not a flaw, but perfect.
Amen.
Changed to perpetuity.
Amen.
It'll be a perpetual change, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Going to a land where we'll never
Amen.
Grow old.
Amen.
It'll be an immutable change, ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen.
Amen.
We'll never have to worry about ever Amen. Being changed from anything anymore. We're going to a land where we'll never grow old. Hallelujah. Amen. And there'll be a perpetual change in you and I. This old flesh shall be changed and take on incorruption. And not like Elliot Smith said, not immorality. He said, this mortal shall put on immorality. No, that's not what it is. They'll put on immortality. Amen. This mortal will be changed. That's you and I talking about.
Amen.
We're going to be changed, ladies and gentlemen, while we're alive. Can you get a hold of that tonight? Can you get a hold of the fact that you may be in the generation that never goes to the grave?
Amen.
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen to God. We've got comfort that if we go to the grave, we'll get up. But we've also got word that we may not go to the grave. We may be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Won't that be wonderful?
Amen.
Death will be swallowed up in victory. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful promise. Of a shout. Of a voice, of a trump, at the last trump of God. You know, in chapter number 5 of the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about, John said, I heard the sound as if it was a trumpet speaking unto me, talking unto me. And it said, come up hither. Dance around in the treetops a little while. Tell this world goodbye.
Yes.
Amen to God. Those three things certainly distinguish, eminently distinguish, the heavenly life of the regenerate soul.
Amen.
Perfection, perpetuity, and immutability. And I'm closing with this. He provides a fourth thing for us. He provides us power
Amen.
To ascend with. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them
Amen.
In the clouds.
Amen.
To meet them.
Amen.
Comforting thoughts. About His coming. Now, can you get a hold of that? How many of you in here tonight have a loved one in the grave that you're confident was saved by the good grace of God? Won't you just stand up? Now, I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. When He said we shall be caught up together with them, that's not just the fact that if they're up here in the cemetery, which they are, and you're 500 miles from there, that they're going up there and you're going up down here. Oh, no, that's not what it says. Caught up together.
Amen.
Together. Amen. That tells me, Leroy, that we're going to have a reunion on the earth. Before we're ever caught up there. Can you get a hold of that? Now, I don't know how God's going to do that, but that's comforting words. To know, ladies and gentlemen, we might be 5,000 miles away, but if we've got a loved one in that grave, when that trumpet sounds and a dead in Christ gets up out of the grave and we're changed in a moment of twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up together. We're going to be, there's going to be a reunion right there, somewhere, right there, somewhere, right there. And we're going to be caught up together. Now, if you cannot find comfort out of that.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know how God's going to do that. Miss Hall's got a mommy and daddy and a brother. I believe they're all going to be in glory. It's buried in Providence Cemetery. Outside, about 5 miles outside of Austin, Indiana. I got a mommy and a daddy buried. Some other loved ones. I hope some of them were saved. Just about a mile and a half north of Underwood, Indiana. And here we are over here. Now, if that trump sounds tonight, what that scripture is telling me is that we're going to be caught up together with them. Together. Not caught up apart. Caught up together. Now, I don't know how God's going to pull that off. But if he can preserve the dead for thousands of years and raise them incorruptible, he won't have any problem putting us together with our loved ones when we get up out, when they get up out of the grave.
Amen.
I want to ask them, why are we so sorrowful tonight? There's comfort in thoughts of his coming.
Amen.
It's the greatest consolation that we have as a child of God. To know that he that loved us and died for us, he said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now that ought to comfort your heart tonight.
Amen.
I didn't realize that this many people in here had loved ones that had died. There's several people in here that's got loved ones that died in the Lord. Now, you don't have to sorrow like people that have no hope.
That's right.
No, sir. Everybody else stand.